It's the Garden Nerd Tip of the Week podcast, where we spend time chatting with expert gardening guests and we ask for their favorite tip. I'm Christy Wilhelmi. Thanks for joining me. Today's guest is Joanne Trigo, co-owner of Two Dog Nursery, the only certified organic nursery in Los Angeles County, California. Joanne and her husband Alejandro turned their home into an independent nursery to offer mostly heirloom and a few hybrid vegetables, herb and edible flower seedlings that you often can't find anywhere else. Joanne, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to have you here in my kitchen.
I can't believe it took me this long to realize that I needed to get you on the podcast.
we're both busy girls.
I know. We see each other all the time, usually in a panic.
Yes, that's about right.
Filling orders on both sides. So let's talk about how Two Dog Nursery started. The nursery profession was not your line of work, was it?
No, not at all. My degree is in sociology from UCSD, and actually for most of my adult life I worked in, and Alex as well, my husband as well, worked in interior design and custom design, high-end furniture, lighting, upholstery, window treatments, etc. And we had a showroom on Beverly Boulevard for 17 years.
Wow.
Called La Paloma Design, and the economy kind of killed that. And at the same time, there was sort of the death of the business. There was also the passing of our dog, who had gone to work with us every day. My father, my father's brother and sister-in-law, and then my favorite aunt of all, my Aunt Martha, who is my mother's sister. And all that happened in about 18 months. I was not terribly busy at the time, because when we lost the design business, or I should say it transformed into a different type of business, I didn't have a very active role. So sort of all that heartache was urging me to get my hands in the soil. In hindsight, I know it was a call to horticultural therapy, as they call it. And yet I couldn't garden in the back as I wanted to, because we had in the meantime adopted two new dogs, hence the name Two Dog Organic Nursery, to sort of entertain my dad. But sadly, he did not live long enough to meet even both of them. So here I was with dogs I wasn't quite ready for, lots of heartache, no way to garden, and my dear friend said, well, what about the earth box? I went online. I thought, that's interesting. I can put them on a table. I bought three, planted them, and I kind of joked that it was like the original Alien movie when Sigourney Weaver had the alien burst out of her chest. That's kind of what happened here. It just exploded, and it's true. And I see it kind of like it came like a cosmic assignment, because I never had any intention for this whatsoever, but it was when the economy was crashing and people were losing their jobs and their pensions, and I just kind of had this inner mantra that knowing how to grow a little bit of your own food was an important life skill. And so next thing you know, I was possessed to do this and get everybody growing.
Yeah. And so that was what year?
2008 is when my father passed. So late in 2008 is when I started the garden. Early 2009 is when it became a business. 2010, we became certified organic with CCOF, and we were already in the farmers markets by then.
And I want to ask you what the process was like for certifying, because that's kind of a crazy task, isn't it?
It is if you're growing in the ground. For us, it wasn't that difficult. It was largely at that point familiarizing ourselves with the rules, being compliant, and recording everything, which we continue to do. But it goes like this. You can join the California Organic Program, and it's pretty much the honor system. Mm-hmm. You pay your fees and so forth, but nobody really inspects you. Mm. So during that time period, since, of course, everything we grow is in containers, we kept literally every single bag of soil and seedling mix that we'd utilized. We just kept bundling them up with twine, every seed packet, which actually I still do keep every seed packet. And we kept the records of what we sowed, how many we sowed, the date, the container size, the lot number, who we got them from. Wow. And, of course, we have to keep the organic certification current of every single one of our vendors. So you can do that for the first year. Then you either have to drop the name organic, which I didn't want to do, or join the national program. And so we chose CCOF to be our inspector.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a lot of documentation work, but otherwise not too shabby.
Not too bad, because it wasn't like we were trying to transform acreage, you know, which,
right,
of course, is a whole another thing and can take up to 7 years.
Right.
It was, and then you get in the routine of documenting, and it's quite nice because sometimes if we have some weird germination going on, we can go back and look at exactly what seed packet we were using and just eliminate that, because we know when we sowed it, because we always date our containers, and we always write the lot number and who we got the seeds from.
That's so smart. I know, as a home gardener, I have a journal and I keep things written down, but it's never as specific as that. So that's a really good idea.
It is. I mean, in my personal garden, I should keep much more, you know, records than I do. I don't, because I just don't have enough hours in the day. But for the business, when you're, you know,
so
trying
you
to produce for sales, you have to, yeah.
Yeah. Now, we are surrounded by seedlings.
Yes.
And even though we're in your kitchen right now, we are surrounded by seedlings just outside the door and the windows here. And can you just describe...
That's only part of it.
That's only part of it. This whole thing wraps around the house.
Yeah. Yeah, and inside.
And inside.
This is your first time inside our house.
Yeah.
So normally in our dining room, where we have another light shelf unit, like the big ones out in the garage, there are the two huge ones in the garage and then three smaller ones in the house. One in the dining room and literally two in our bedroom. We sleep well. That have heat mats, you know. So the agricultural heat mats. And so that's for where we start the tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants in January. So they can be inside cozy with the heat mats and the lights. And, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's really invaded us.
So you really can't get away from your job.
No, never.
Yeah.
Never. People say, oh, if you can't get away, take a staycation. And I'm like, you've obviously never been in our house,
yeah,
because it's full of windows and everywhere you look, there's something saying, I need water or I need to be moved.
So for those who can't, because this is audio only, for those who aren't here, can you describe the nursery a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah, well, the kind of the experience starts when you first arrive, because I call it the front yard farm, our whole front yard. And we're, of course, in the middle of the Miracle Mile, so we have a typical old Spanish house that's on a 50 by 100 square foot lot. So the whole entire front yard is comprised of about 40 earth boxes and 27 smart pots and our giant blueberry bushes. Then you come up the driveway where we have our 47 varieties of heirloom tomatoes, all the berry bushes, all the citrus trees. The garage, of course, is where most of the production happens. The production happens there, but it doesn't all live in there. Then you step into the backyard, and it's table after table after table, and down the center of the house and into the patio, more tables and tables. And a few years ago, I asked Alex, please, can I have a riser on every table?
Mm-hmm.
And I need brick pathways, and I need a new fence down the driveway, and I need lots of shelter. And so little by little, fortunately, my husband's a wonderful builder and very accommodating and has built out the whole thing over the last 10 years. And we try partly because I think it came from having the furniture showroom, which was a beautiful place. I'm kind of particular. I'm all about the picking and fluffing and placement of the plants and making it, you know, an inviting and beautiful experience.
Nice. It is. It's truly gorgeous, and there are butterflies flying around, and I'm looking out into rose bushes right now. You do have some of those, and there are strawberries and tomatoes, and I see all kinds of things, and it's just this little oasis going around
here. Thank you.
Now, you've saved my hide more times than I can count by having plants in stock that I can't find anywhere else.
Well, yay.
Yeah. What are some of the popular veggies you're carrying this season?
Well, of course, heirloom tomatoes are the number one thing. That's the driver for the whole business. I'm kind of personally more a corn and beans kind of gal, but of course, corn.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Corn, beans, cucumbers. We also do amaranth. We do some interesting melons, a little sakata sweet melon that will climb, which is in our own garden, and a new acorn squash that's going to be all speckled and colorful. It's also in our garden. Of course, we're kind of known for the blueberries because nobody has them as big as we do, and they're just awesome, and we sell them by the hundreds. And then a lot of people come because of the earth boxes. So, I mean, it's, you know, and flowers.
Right.
And herbs.
Right.
It just,
And you're doing the edible flowers mm-hmm. and herbs that are culinary.
Correct.
And any medicinals?
Some have medicinal. I just this morning sold some blue hyssop. And, of course, oregano and thyme have a lot of medicinal purposes, but there are, again, not enough hours in the day for me to study that. Yeah. I'd love to, but so basically we just refer to them as culinary herbs.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And what's your process of starting seeds for the nursery?
Ha! Well, in the early days, I sat at a card table on the driveway and hand-filled the pots myself, but now we've got a beautiful crew over the years. And so we have two bins into which we make our mixes of seedling mix. We add worm castings and BioAlive, which is a wonderful certified organic fertilizer with mycorrhizae in it, or mycorrhizae, however you want to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. And so we have a really super-duper sort of high-octane seedling mix that we use. And we, obviously, everything's done by hand. We hand-fill the 4-inch pots. We sow the seeds by hand. And when we get to my tip, I'll tell you a little something about that. And then we water everything in always with a mixture called Great Big Tomatoes, which is good for any plants.
Right.
It's a certified organic liquid compost, and I started doing that on day one. I'm not really sure why, but we always do it.
Yeah.
So all transplants and all seeds get a little dose of that, and then they go on the light shelves where we keep them under light for about 16 hours a day. They're not automated. We go out in the evening and turn them off.
Oh, you don't have them on a timer?
No, can you believe it?
Oh,
nor do we have any of the watering on automatic. Every single thing here is hand watered.
Wow.
And soon it'll be literally every day because it'll be that
so hot.
Hot,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's quite an operation. And the garage in and of itself is a wonder because of all of the shelves with the lighting stations above them. And
yeah.
It's just this little factory
yeah.
going on back
we
there.
We can put 100 flats under light in the garage, standard 17-inch by 17-inch flats. And those are movable. My husband built those too, of course.
Uh-huh.
So good. We have the area where the two employees, Rylan and Veronica, do the seed sowing and the transplants, and we work with customers. And then along the back, it's a standard two-car garage. Along the back, we have shelf units where we stock all the smalls, the fertilizers and dolomite lime and things like that we sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any particular grow lights you like to use?
These are actually just regular old fluorescent.
Really? They're
yep.
not even full spectrum?
Nope.
Holy cow.
No. If we'd known this was going to take off, we probably, and if it had been the thing at the time, we might have gone to LED or something else that would be a little more cost effective. But
right.
now it's prohibitive to change out all the ballasts and whatnot.
Right.
So I think they're T5 or T8. I can never remember, but they don't get very hot and they don't buzz.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the buzzing, quiet is important.
Yes.
I know when I was doing my research on grow lights, I ended up going with a Gardner Supply sells a tabletop version. Then they have a full spectrum long 4-foot
yeah.
fluorescent compact. It's not compact fluorescent, it's full fluorescent.
Uh-huh.
But it's boasted for being very quiet.
Quiet.
It's very important.
I think it's important not only for us, but I think it's important for the plants.
Yeah.
I think they love the social activity and all the coming and going and ooing and awing. I really do.
Everyone fawns over your plant.
They do, but yeah. I also think they enjoy when it's quiet. It's important.
Yeah. Cool.
They can rest.
So let's go back to the front yard because that's your display garden.
Yeah, and the show and tell.
Right, exactly. You have all kinds of stuff growing out there, and I took a photo on my way in. You've got corn and some herbs and things flowering and the blueberries. I have two questions for you around
okay.
this one. One you've already almost answered completely. I just want to check in again to see what types of containers work best for you and what do you recommend. And then the second thing are what are your favorite veggies to grow in containers?
Okay. So on the container side, of course, my husband being the ace builder that he has always offered to make me raised beds. And while I think they're wonderful, I love, 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 love the earth box.
Yeah.
It was what kicked off this whole thing. Those three became 44.
Wow.
And they go year round.
Yes.
Again, I have good help here. And also the smart pot, because the smart pot, I kind of break it up this way. If it fruits above ground, it's in an earth box. If it fruits below ground, it's going to be in a smart pot. So we currently have sweet potatoes, regular potatoes, onions, and 4 smart pots full of garlic that are just about ready to harvest in the garden. Plus, a lot of them became flowers because I just started losing my mind over the flowers lately. But it helps for when the garden looks crummy. Because there's always stages where it really doesn't look good, and it is in our front yard.
Right.
So, so I do a lot of flowers down front. And the Earth Boxes, of course, their claim to fame is tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So we have 14 with tomatoes. We have, I think, 3 or 4 with butternuts and acorn squash. We have 7 that are kale. We have 7 that are strawberries, give or take 1. We have green beans in Earth Boxes. We also have green beans where I did a teepee with 4 different varieties of pole beans growing in a tower right down in front. That's so fun and pretty.
I need to go back outside.
We'll go back out. We have the show and tell. And what else? We've got eggplants. We've got 2 smart pots of rhubarb. I make the best strawberry rhubarb pie. My husband goes nuts over it. We have, the only thing in the ground is artichokes, big old fabulous artichokes. Yeah. We have a plum tree, which was not going to be a gift, but became a gift, and it's kind of rooted itself. But it's a kind of a rare weeping Santa Rosa, and it has a lot of fruit on it this year. It's only about not even 2 years old yet. And what else? Lots of flowers. We have, this year we've been selling a lot of native milkweed. Mm-hmm. I think you and I spoke about that.
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of our customers have been buying it. One customer bought 98 of them, which was kind of awesome to do a whole hillside. she's a young actress with some very hit films.
Yes.
I'm very proud of our customers for snapping those up. And then, of course, we have sweet peas, the flowers, just because. And I can't think. Oh, lettuces. Earth Box of mixed lettuces and Earth Box of Corvair spinach, which we'll do another round of here in a couple of weeks with a little shade cloth that can keep going.
Right. Spinach is hard to grow and it's really hot out here like it can be.
The Corvair is a pretty sturdy variety, and also with some shade cloth, which, you know, basically we just clip some shade cloth from one tomato cage to the next and just kind of rig it up temporarily.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, because, you know, again, it's our front yard, so it's not like I can do a whole big thing over the whole thing. Although, if it feels like we're going to get those sneak attack 110-degree days like we had last July, I might.
Yeah, I hear you.
Appearance be damned.
Right, it's like, who cares? Got to protect the plants.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, because, you know, like Renee Seeds makes a whole line of seeds that are especially designed for containers or bred to grow in containers or in small spaces. Do you have any favorite varieties or seed companies that you like to get seeds from for containers?
Well, we do get from Renee's and Botanical Interests and High Mowing Seed. But Botanical Interests in Colorado and High Mowing is in Vermont. So I kind of have this mission to keep all my ag dollars in California.
Right.
So, of course, we buy from Natural Gardening Company, very early mentors and wonderful people. And also, of course, Peaceful Valley. Everybody knows them.
Right.
And a few other smaller ones. But I try to buy in California. And as far as whether it's good for a container or not, I don't know. You know, the tomatoes out there are like 9 feet tall.
Right. And those are in the smart pots, right?
Those are in the earth boxes. Yeah. I personally never had real good success with tomatoes in smart pots, although many of our customers do.
Yeah.
I just, you know how it is. Mother Nature gets the last word. I can't grow zucchini.
Yeah.
I can grow this whole nursery, but I can't grow zucchini.
That's crazy.
I know.
Yeah, and I've stopped growing cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. Just forget it.
Tons of worm castings. That was the difference for us. We just didn't get aphidy. We had the most beautiful winter garden last year. It was just endless broccoli and cauliflowers and broccolinis and nary an aphid. It was incredible.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, now you also have some great fruit trees and berries for low chill climates. What are some of your favorites?
Well, of course, the number one is the blueberries, and those would be Misty and Emerald and Sunshine Blue are our best sellers.
Mm-hmm.
In our personal garden, we have 3 Misties and 1 Sharp Blue, which might get replaced with a Misty. And then, of course, we do Heritage Red Raspberry, Fall Gold Raspberry, Olali Berry, and Triple Crown Blackberry.
Nice.
Which is a thornless one, which is kind of nice. I wish they were all thornless.
Right, I know. I've got scars from picking blackberries this week.
We do a lot of strawberries. Mara de Bois and Sequoia are the varieties we have right now. And then we frequently have goji berries.
Okay.
Yeah.
What other fruit trees do you have?
Okay, so we always carry a lot of citrus. Most of the time, it's the semi-dwarf is what I mean to say, so it can grow like in a big pot, a wine barrel, or in the ground and still be a very manageable size. And then we also sell a lot of the subtropical category, which would include passion fruit, figs, guavas, you know, papayas and the like. We just sold a giant mulberry tree out of here. It was here for about a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
Finally, it went to someone's home. Yeah.
Any dragon fruit?
We do. As a matter of fact, did you see out in the garden that one is in bloom?
It's blooming. I did. I was like, are they selling that or is that just theirs?
Yes, we are. No, it's not ours. It's for sale. In fact, last weekend, I think it was, we had our very first flower on another one, and I was going wild. I put it up on Instagram and such because it really only stays big and open that morning and then it starts to
like squash flowers.
Oh god, it was just stunning and smelled so heavenly, almost 8 inches across.
I love dragon fruit and they're so expensive, so if you need to climb that, that needs something to climb, right?
Yeah, they get kind of rangy and crazy. It's almost like you wish you had an old-fashioned clothesline to let them just ramble along,
right?
That type of structure.
Yeah. All right. It is tip time. Do you have a favorite tip that you'd like to share with the Garden Nerd audience?
So my tip, which I don't think is that huge of a deal, but a lot of customers find it to be kind of a big deal, is to use when sowing the very, very small seeds like kale and mustard and such that are difficult to try to pick up. And then they stick to your hands and then everything gets wet. Mm-hmm. I spread them out in my palm and I use a wood skewer. You can buy a package of wood skewers for a few bucks in the grocery store. And I just get the end of it. I dip it into a little water so it's moist on the edge.
Uh-huh.
And then it will pick up individual seeds so fast. And then I just touch them to the soil, you know, an eighth of an inch deep or whatever they're going to go. And they just stick.
Oh.
And you just go like this. So,
wow.
So particularly when I'm planting carrots from seed in our own garden, which I do in a broken earth box that I asked hubby to drill some holes in the bottom for me, and I took the screen out and I use it like just a planter box.
So it's deeper.
Yeah, and it also is a nice shape to do. I score in two lines, two rows, and then I just take my seeds, and in no time at all, I just drop the seeds in at about 2 to 3 inch spacing so I never have to come back and thin.
That's great.
And they're all right there. And it's like they know what to do. They hop on the skewer and they hop in the soil.
That's so great. I've never seen anybody do that before. So that is a great tip.
I saw some people actually use a pencil to pick up tomato seeds.
Oh.
And I thought, ew, but lead and I don't know.
Right?
So I just thought skewer.
Although it's not lead anymore.
I guess not.
I know, I think it's
probably not.
I don't know. We'll have to look that one up. So I'm going to ask you about another tip that you share with your audience a lot. And that is the vinegar trick for the blueberries.
Oh, my God. This is an amazing thing. And I didn't invent it. I give all credit to our county ag inspector. One day a few years back, he was here. You know, they come routinely for various inspections. And I said to him, gosh, it seems like our blueberries have kind of petered out. And he said, well, because you're watering with city water, which has a pH of 8. And I'm
right.
It's duh.
Very alkaline.
Yeah.
We have very alkaline soil, too.
Yes, and the blueberries want to be very acidic, like 4.5 to 5.5 range. And, of course, we put them in with the good acid soil, and we give them the acid fertilizer. But meanwhile, we're watering twice a week with this alkaline water.
Yeah.
And so he said, oh, all you have to do is take your watering can, and we have a 2-gallon, and fill it with water, put in 4 tablespoons of distilled white vinegar, the cheap miracle worker, and give each one of them, ours are in 24-inch by 24-inch pots, and just give them that whole 2-gallon drench every couple of months. And we did that 2 times before that year's fruiting season, and they went back to explosive. And we probably get upwards of at least 4 to 5 pounds per bush per year.
And I have to say that we're sitting in front of a bowl of blueberries right here.
And in the oven, we've got a blueberry lemon bread.
Yes. She's mixing a blueberry lemon bread as I should have. This is perfect. So that is one of my favorite tips.
Because it's a miracle worker.
I don't have blueberries myself, but I always point people in the direction of your tip. Because
Thank
that's
you.
Such a great idea that's fixable. It's a problem that's fixable.
And cheap and so simple. And we've heard from so many of our customers that it turned their bushes back to heavily fruitful as well.
Yeah, and the first time I'd ever heard that was up at UC Santa Cruz. They have the Caspis Farm up there, Center for Agroecology, something, something. And the woman who was taking me on a tour there, they have 400 different blueberries growing up there, and they have apple orchards, and so they take the fallen apples, they make it into vinegar, and they pump that vinegar, that apple cider vinegar, through the irrigation for the blueberries.
Oh, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
Well, our ag inspector said, you know, do what the pros do.
Yeah.
Just use vinegar. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. So we buy it by the big old jug.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that tip, Joanne.
You're welcome. I'm glad you reminded me to speak about it, because I wasn't thinking of it.
Sure, and thank you for being on the Garden Nerd podcast.
Oh, it was absolutely my pleasure, Christy. Thank you.
So how do people find you?
TwoDogNursery.com is our website, all spelled out, T-W-O, TwoDogNursery.com. Our Gmail is, what is it?
I don't know. TwoDogNursery@gmail.com?
Yeah, TwoDogNursery@gmail.com.
I just start typing it, and it autofills for me.
Yes. we are also on Facebook at TwoDog Organic Nursery. We're also on Instagram at TwoDog Organic Nursery, which is actually the legal name of the business. It includes the word organic, which had to do all our work to earn. And then our phone number, 323-422-3835.
Excellent. All right, Garden Nerds, you'll find links to TwoDog Organic Nursery's website on gardennerd.com this week, where you can go to their website and sign up for their monthly newsletter, which is very helpful. We'll also post a link to their helpful growing guides page and their Facebook page and their Instagram feed. That's it for this week. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or whatever they're calling it these days. Visit us for tons of free information on GardenNerd.com. Show your support for this podcast and the other free stuff on Garden Nerd by becoming a Patreon subscriber. You'll find us on Instagram and on Twitter under GardenNerd1, on Facebook as GardenNerd.com, and, of course, our Garden Nerd YouTube channel. Happy gardening!